From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns brings another portion of a message entitled The Last Supper, which became the Lord's Supper. In instituting the Lord's Supper following the Passover meal, the Lord Jesus proclaimed the end of the Jewish sacrificial system. This action demonstrated many things about what Christ thought of his imminent death on the cross. It represented the fulfillment of the types and shadows of the Old Testament ceremonial system. It also signified the destruction of death and foreshadowed his resurrection and coming again. Also, he knew that it was the only way to accomplish the redemption of sinners. Dr. Cairns will return to the message shortly, but first, in today's hot topic, he reports that the Pope claims St. Paul's birthplace, but repudiates his gospel.
The Vatican's playing a clever political game these days with Turkey. As you probably know, the Apostle Paul came from Tarsus, which now lies within the national boundaries of Turkey, near the Syrian border. In Tarsus, there's a church that has been used by the Muslims as a feed store, but since 1990 has been a museum. It draws a large number of tourists every year, but Turkish authorities have employed a number of petty rules to make it difficult for Roman Catholics to use the church for Mass. Now the Pope intends to change all that. For some time, he has been under pressure from a couple of his cardinals to push Turkey to grant free access to the church in Tarsus, and now he's come up with the way to do it. Turkey is in the process of gaining entrance into the European Union, and cannot make enemies among the major players in that union. So the Vatican has enlisted the help of Germany in her approach to Turkey. The deal is that Turkey will give the Vatican the right to have free use of the church in Tarsus. Germany, where there are millions of Turkish immigrants, will make it easier for Muslims to build mosques. So, whatever the state of local opinion in Tarsus, Turkey must play ball with the Vatican. I find it interesting that the Pope should show such an interest in the birthplace of the Apostle Paul, because if there's one thing that the entire Church of Rome has consistently repudiated, it is the gospel as preached by Paul. For example, Paul stated emphatically, Romans 3 verse 28, "We conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." He further explained this statement by saying, Romans 4 verse 6, "God imputeth righteousness without or apart from works." His meaning is clear and beyond doubt. But that has not stopped the Church of Rome contradicting it, and doing so in the most unambiguous language. The definitive statement by the Church of Rome on the subject of justification is the one given by the Council of Trent in the 16th century. So completely did that document state the Roman Catholic position on justification that even the Second Vatican Council made no attempt to redefine its position or even to refine the statement of the Council of Trent. What is that statement? Listen carefully. I quote, "If anyone saith that by faith alone the impious is justified, let him be anathema, or accursed." And again, and I quote, "If anyone saith that men are justified either by the sole imputation of the justice," that is, the righteousness of Christ, or by the sole remission of sins, or even that the grace whereby we are justified is only the favor of God, let him be anathema. Now that's what the Council of Trent actually wrote. That's the official doctrine of the Vatican and the Church of Rome. In other words, what Paul expressly teaches, the Church of Rome expressly anathematizes. It seems a bit hypocritical to be so insistent on gaining use of a church in Tarsus just because Paul was born in Tarsus when you so vehemently curse, and that's the word anathema, curse the message Paul delivered. Of course, the curse works both ways. For Paul just as insistently stated that if anyone, even an angel from heaven, should preach any other gospel than the one he preached, quotes, let him be accursed, let him be anathema. Galatians 1 verses 8 and 9. The Vatican may find a way around Turkish red tape, but it cannot wheedle its way out of the denunciation of the great Apostle Paul.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you have tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the program format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then we give you our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we'd be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's relatively easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Please don't forget the word radio. That's ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Everything that the Passover signified. His death was the death of the true Lamb. It was the final sacrifice of God's Lamb, the Lamb of God's appointing. And thereby, He showed, saying, take it and eat it. He showed. As we were singing this morning, finished all the types and shadows of the ceremonial law. In other words, he was anticipating the whole doctrine of the book of Hebrews. You read that book that was written, of course, to Jewish converts, and that book was written to establish this very truth. The Jews were finding it difficult, very difficult, to let go of the types and the shadows. And the apostle writes to them to show them that these things were only of value until their fulfillment came. They were only pointing forward to the coming of the true priest and the true sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He offered one sacrifice for sin forever, and He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. That's how Christ viewed His death. It was the end of Jewish types and shadows. Now, I don't want to get off on a tangent here, because I have a few things left to say, as some of you may already anticipate. But let me just throw this in. I don't want to go into it in detail, but I do want to make this statement. There is a strange movement. I'll not say sweeping across America, because that would be giving it far, far too much impetus. But at least it is spreading. You can read of it, hear of it, meet with it here and there, where people are getting into Judaism. And the idea is that as Christians we should now be going along with our Jewish brethren, and we should be celebrating these Old Testament Jewish feasts.
And I tell you, that's Galatianism. That's reverting from the gospel. That's an insult to the finished work of Jesus Christ. Oh, it is a good thing for God's people to go back to the Old Testament and to study the great feasts of that era, because they are prefigurings of Christ, just as it's a good thing to study the tabernacle, it's a good thing to study the major offerings, it's a good thing to study the Passover, it's a good thing to study the feasts, it's a good thing to study the priesthood. Not because we are to revert to them in any shape or form, but we are to see in that prior delineation of the gospel some of the wondrous truths that God was setting forth. And the great advantage of this is to emphasize that the gospel he preaches in the New Testament, he was prefiguring in the Old Testament, that God never saved anybody except through the merits and mediation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that doesn't mean to say that Christians should get in to all the regalia and ritual of Jewish feasts. No, sir. Our Savior finished the types and the shadows. And how foolish it is, when you've got the full light of sunlight, to say we want to go back into the shadows. That was the first thing in Christ's mind. He was fulfilling and ending the types and the shadows of the Old Testament sacrifices. Second, I think it's very clear that he saw his death as the destruction of death. Here he is on the very verge of dying, at the point of going over to Gethsemane and then to Gabbatha and Golgotha. And what does he do? He institutes the Lord's Supper. And in the way that he instituted it, he speaks of a coming day. He looks away into the future. And he talks about what he's going to do with his disciples in that kingdom and in that day. As Paul puts it, he tells us in 1 Corinthians 11 that this is all done until Jesus comes again. In other words, that's the focal point of this entire institution. He's speaking of death, but he's saying, in effect, death is not the end. In John 16, verse 22, he promised them that I will see you again. What a promise that is. Looking at the cross, looking at dying, and he says, I will see you again. Now, that was not a vain hope. It was not an empty promise. It was not some mere form of words to bring some sort of comfort to the hearts of the disciples. No, the Lord Jesus was saying this in the very same way in which he had said, no man takes my life from me. I want you to understand the full significance of that. No man can take my life from me. Not all the high priests in the world, not all the scribes and Pharisees, not all the centurions and soldiers, not all the Caesars who ever sat upon their throne. No man can take my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. That was the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in that very same vein that he says to the disciples as he approaches the cross, I will see you again. It's in that very same vein that he institutes the Lord's Supper and he gives them emblems of his death, but emblems also of his resurrection, promises of his life beyond the grave, promises of his coming again, promises of his glory, promises of his everlasting kingdom. In other words, to quote the great Welsh hymn writer William Williams, he saw his death as the death of death and hell's destruction. That's how the Savior looked on his death. Third thing, he saw it as the only way of redemption for men from the burdens and the bondage of sin. By making the bread and the wine of the Passover the elements of the Lord's Supper, by dying for us at the time of the Passover, the Lord Jesus Christ was plainly testifying to this truth. The Passover proclaimed, ritualistically, what Christ's death accomplished really. Now think of it. What was the Passover? The Passover was a commemoration of a redemption that God had wrought for his people when they were in the land of Egypt. That's what it was. If you go back to the book of Exodus, starting at chapter 12, and then into chapter 13, you'll find this is why God set up the feast. That they would forever remember that they were bondmen in the land of Egypt. They were slaves in that awful place in what the scriptures call the iron furnace. And they were redeemed by the hand of God. There are two elements in the redemption, and they are marked by the words that God uses regarding redemption in the Old Testament. There is the element of power, where they are redeemed by the power of God. Then there is the element of price, where they are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And the Passover was a celebration of the redemption that God had wrought for his people in bringing them out of the land of bondage, out from the burden of being slaves in Egypt. As he said to Moses, I have seen the affliction of my people, I have heard their cry, and I am come down to deliver them. And he did it by a mighty redemption. Now that's what the Passover commemorated. Keep that in mind and then see what the Lord Jesus says in Matthew chapter 26, verse 28. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. As we read in Luke 22 this morning, in verse 20, he said, this cup is the New Testament or the New Covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. He's taking the Passover ritual, the Passover commemoration of a redemption. He's transferring the message to his own blood. He's saying, here is the blood that reaches, it's shed for you, as the blood of that lamb was shed for the people in Egypt. This is shed for you. It is shed for the remission of your sins. It is shed, therefore, for the redemption of your soul. As Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, in Christ we have redemption through his blood. As Peter said, looking back on those Old Testament types and shadows, you're not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was in these last times manifested for you who do by him believe in God. Now, this is how the Lord Jesus was looking on his death. He's saying, you look at this Passover. It was a redemption, was it not? Did Israel not spend the rest of their history either celebrating it or being told to celebrate it? Yes, they did. Well, here's the real fulfillment of it. There is redemption in the blood of the Lamb. You know, that is the keynote of the gospel. Never let us lose that. The gospel is not some sort of a self-help program. The gospel is the statement of a mighty redemption. And the two parts that I mentioned regarding the Old Testament redemption are still to the fore in the redemption purchased by Christ. There is the idea of power. There is the idea of price in the shed blood of the Lamb. And those are the elements in the message that Christ is setting forth as he institutes the Lord's Supper. Those are the two elements in the message that we have got to set forth as we bring the gospel to a lost world. There is power in the death of Christ, and there is the price paid in the death of Christ by the shedding of his blood to redeem guilty sinners from the burdens and the bondage of their sin. We live in a world that is in bondage. Makes the bondage of Egypt seem like a Sunday school picnic. We live in a world where people are in bondage to passion, lust, and pride. We're living in a world where men are slaves. Slaves to the tyrant sin, playthings of the devil, brought to the edge of destruction, staggering drunkenly on their way to a never-ending hell. And there is nothing that any man or any system or any government or any human activity can ever do to bring them back. But Christ died for the ungodly. He said, "This blood was shed for you. This blood was shed for the remission, for the forgiveness, for the removal of your sins. This blood was shed," as Paul says, "for redemption."
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.